Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
I love to read stories about the moving of the Holy Spirit in the local churches and in people's lives, in congregational members' lives. I love to read stories about how the Holy Spirit is working. This story came out of Latin America. There was a pastor, and he's the one who tells the story. A pastor was at his home, and he was working on his pickup truck when a family from the community came to him, and they had their mother, who had somehow or other gotten paralysis in one of her legs. One of her legs was totally paralyzed, and they carried her to this pastor. And the reason they went to this pastor was this pastor owned a small truck. And they wondered if the pastor wouldn't take their mother down to the city, which was down several miles away, so that they could get her into the hospital and get her checked out medically and see if they could not do something to get the feeling and the use of her legs back, her leg back, because she had a paralyzed leg. Well, the pastor informed them, because he was working, I says, my truck is broken. I would be more than happy to take you to the city, but my truck is broken, and it's going to take a lot of time to fix this. Then the pastor says, but we Pentecostals believe that God still heals today. Let us pray for your mother, and let's see what God will do. To which they said, they didn't want anything to do with the Pentecostals. They just needed a ride to the hospital. They just wanted pastor's truck. And so the pastor said, well, all right. Still going to take a while to fix this truck. So let me make a deal with you. When the truck is finished, I will take you to the hospital, but while it's being fixed, would you let the brothers pray for your mother? If God hasn't healed her by the time we've got the truck fixed, then I will take you into the hospital and you can have the doctors check her out. But, this is what the pastor added, kind of a bold individual. But if God does heal her, then you need to start attending this church. Well, they reluctantly agreed. And so the pastor and individual was helping him get back to working on the truck. He makes a call, and some brothers from the church come. The mother's over there and the people, and they begin to pray for this mother with a paralyzed leg. After a couple hours, the truck is finally ready to run, and so the brothers go over to this lady, the mother of the family that was there. They pick her up to put her in the truck to take her to the hospital, and as they lift her up, her leg moves. The paralysis was gone, instantly healed by the power of the Holy Spirit working in that group of people. And yes, that family did start attending church after their mother was healed miraculously by the power of God. I love to read stories like that. And I love to read them in the scripture also. But I like to read the ones or hear the ones in modern day, because it reminds me and it reminds you that the work of God did not stop centuries ago. The work of God continues today. It's continuing in our day and age. People even here in this room right now have been miraculously touched by the power of God. So this week, we're going to continue studying power encounters, the works of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Last week, we talked about the very first part of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And I just want to review what happened there. So how did the power of the Holy Spirit manifest itself on the day of Pentecost? First of all, they heard it. They heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Those in the room that received it and those outside, a whole crowd gathered because they heard the sound. They also saw it. They saw tongues of fire come upon every single one that was in the room praying, about 120 people. That's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. When that sound of the wind, that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And you might want to know, when I use this term, the power of the Holy Spirit, how did it manifest itself? Manifest is a word that means just how did it show up? How did they see it? How did they hear it? That is what it means to manifest. And the Holy Spirit is still manifesting his work. So they heard it. They saw it. Then the 120 spoke supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit in other languages, and others heard them speaking in tongues. Not only did they hear them speaking in tongues, they understood what they were saying. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter stood up, and they heard Peter preach an empowered sermon which pierced their hearts. The piercing of a heart in conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to take an aside here, because I prayed something in pre-service prayer. I'm going to tell you what I prayed. The Holy Spirit can be in a place, but if your heart is closed, he can't touch it. And what I prayed this morning was not only that God's Holy Spirit would be here, but that you and I would be willing to engage with him or to allow him to touch us. But some of you have kind of clued everything out, his spirit, my voice, and everything else, because you just got a text. I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit can't work in our culture because we don't get our noses out of our devices long enough for him to touch us. And I'm as guilty as Pastor Evan. Or my children. But they heard Peter preach an empowered sermon which pierced their hearts. And then 3,000 people believed. They were water baptized. And they also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Spirit. Every day, people believed and were added to the Jesus followers. And the last way that the Spirit manifests himself, from review last week, the promises for all Jesus followers for all time. The power of the Holy Spirit manifested itself on the day of Pentecost, but the power was not just for that day and that time. So today we're going to look and see, how did the power of the Holy Spirit manifest itself in the daily life of a local church? This is just a kind of a model the Spirit, or the Scriptures show us, but it's from Acts chapter 2, starting in the 42nd verse. I'm going to read and teach as I go. And then I'm going to make some points. And as Pastor Evan already said, we're going to close this morning by then celebrating communion together. So Acts chapter 2, picking it up in verse 42. The sermon is over. The people have gotten saved. Their hearts have been pierced. 3,000 have gotten baptized. And then about five verses here, it just talks about what was taking place. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place. I'm going to stop here for a second, because all the believers met together in one place leaves the impression that they were gathering in this large group. The New Living didn't do the best job translating this. It is better translated, all the believers were together, meaning that they were on the same page. They were moving forward in the same way. Yes, they were meeting together, but they were meeting together in homes and smaller gatherings. They were meeting together in the temple, but they weren't all meeting together in one place, because 3,000 had gotten saved. We have 120 already. Now, all of those 3,000 were not just there from Jerusalem. Many came in, so they left. But let's say there's 1,000 or 1,500 people. These people were meeting together, but they weren't all gathering in one place. It wasn't a mega church that would meet on the Lord's Day. They were meeting throughout the city and throughout the week. But I wanted to clarify that, because it just gave the impression in this translation that they were having large church gatherings, which was not the place. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Let me make another aside here, because some people have used this text to advocate a communal lifestyle for the body of Christ. This is the only place, well, it's not the only place we see believers selling and giving generously. That's throughout the book of Acts. But people still owned their homes. They still had property. What they did is they sold to meet a need. So if there was a need in the church and they had an extra cloak, they would sell the extra cloak. Maybe they had some money that was stored someplace and they would use it to meet someone else's need. They were selling to meet needs, not selling and then giving the money to the apostles and letting them take care of everybody. The apostles did receive the money to take care of those who were needy. But they continued to work, they continued to own homes, they continued to own their fields and their farms and whatever their possessions were. But as the Holy Spirit led them, they sold possessions to meet needs. This is not communal living, although they did spend a great deal of time together. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. How did the power of the Holy Spirit manifest itself in the daily life of the local church? As I was reading this passage, I picked out six things that were apparent. And I believe that the Holy Spirit was very much involved in this. So hopefully you grabbed a note sheet. If not, there's some scrap pieces of paper if you're at home. Just go ahead and write these points down. I think they're important. The power of the Holy Spirit in the early church was manifest through, number one, rich devotion. Rich devotion. In the 42nd verse, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and prayer. They were devoted to learning the ways of God. They were devoted to fellowship, would include sharing meals together. They were devoted to celebrating communion together. The power of the Holy Spirit was there, but if we're going to see God do everything God needs to do, there's a part that we have to have. And that is, we have to be devoted to the things of God. All the believers, what does it say? Devoted themselves. What did they devote themselves to? The apostles' teaching. That means they came to services where the Bible was opened up, the story of Jesus was told, and they could be taught the word and the ways of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And for us, the devotion would also be to God's Word, as Nathaniel was talking about how we need to be in God's Word, devoted to God's Word. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals. One of the things about Wednesday night, one of the things about small groups is fellowship. We are an isolated people, and the church is becoming more individualistic and more isolated. The manifest power of the Holy Spirit was available because they were together in fellowship, in teaching. They were devoted one to another. The power of the Holy Spirit needs to be combined with people who are serious about living for the Lord and serious about reaching people around them. The Holy Spirit did not force them to be devoted. It was a choice. You can stay home. You can stay apart. You can stay detached. You can stay not devoted to the church, not devoted to other believers, not devoted to prayer, not devoted to the Word of God, not devoted to fellowship. You can choose to do that. The Holy Spirit will not make you do it, but then you are choosing to live isolated, and you are prime bait for the enemy. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. They were devoted to receiving communion often. We're devoted to doing that also. We're going to receive communion. And they were devoted to prayer. We'll talk more about that. The power of the Holy Spirit was manifest through, number one, rich devotion. Number two, abundant prayer. They were devoted to prayer. Out of their rich devotion, out of abundant prayer, Then the power of the Holy Spirit was manifest through, number three, consistent miracles, signs, and wonders. Consistent miracles, signs, and wonders. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And this miraculous church, these gatherings where God showed up in miraculous ways, produced a deep sense of awe. The Greek word that we translate awe means a holy fear and a reverence because they can sense God's presence. It describes the feeling produced when you realize God is at hand. I read a story last night about a man who had had surgery on his neck for cancer. And the surgery took place, and the surgery was successful, but like anyone who has had cancer surgery, needed to have additional tests regularly. And on one of the tests, when the doctor was feeling around the neck, he felt something that he was very concerned about and scheduled for an additional surgery. This man had recently become a follower of Jesus Christ, went into the surgery, and when he woke up from the surgery, he had lots of tubes and everything else, and he knew something had taken place. He wasn't sure what it was. He was in the ICU area. It was at a time where individuals didn't have ICU rooms. There were just the dividers that were there, so you could hear what was going on with other ICU patients. He was in and out of consciousness. The drugs were so affecting his mind that he didn't even know how to pray or if he should pray, but he said, one evening I woke up just like that. I just woke up. My mind was totally clear. And I could hear a man who was in one of the other ICU beds with a deep cough. And I could also hear a young boy who was in another ICU bed groaning terribly, who had been involved in a serious accident. He says, I woke up and there was something in the room. He said, I saw the light from out in the hallway. He said, there was another light that came into the room. He said, it was just there. And he said, I just knew it. It was Jesus. He said, he hadn't walked with God that long and had never had anything like this. He said, I could tell it was Jesus. But he said, is it you, Jesus? And he just knew that it was Jesus. And you know the first thing that he thought? He said, would you help these other individuals? He said, would you help that boy? He seems to be in so much pain. He said, I don't know how I knew it, but it was like the light slowly moved over to that part of the ICU. And the boy groaned once, but with a fell asleep. He said, would you help that other man there who has been coughing? He said, I felt the light moving over to that bed. And one more cough, and not another one. And he fell asleep. And he said, and then I felt the light just slowly leave the room, and then I went to sleep. And he said, I slept so well that the next morning the nurse said, wow, you had a great night, and so did these individuals. He said, I didn't know how to describe the experience, but as he is writing it, and as he's telling the story to others, you know what you can hear? Awe. That's what the reverent awe was, the deep sense of awe. Why? Because God was at hand. If you have ever been in church services where the Holy Spirit manifests himself in different ways, there is a sense of awe. There was a sense of his presence in our worship this morning, but that's such a sliver compared to what there could be. Yet in this church, with their consistent miracles, signs, and wonders, there was a deep sense of awe that came over them all. God was in this place. Fourth, how did the power of the Holy Spirit manifest itself? Through radical generosity. I went ahead and highlighted the words in this because I thought in just these few words, shared or generosity was used four times. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. This was a radically generous church. They gave of resources, they gave support, they gave love, they gave of themselves. They were not an isolated people. When the power of the Holy Spirit is working amongst individuals, when it is working in your heart, you become generous. Generous with time, generous with resources, generous with your prayer, generous with your support. That's a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit, just as real as miracles, signs, and wonders. Number five, the power of the Holy Spirit was also manifest through abundant joy, worship, and praise. It says they worshiped together at the temple each day and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God. They worshiped together in the temple each day and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God. There's joy, there's worship, and there's praise. Once again, when the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is amongst people, whether we're in a big group meeting, whether we're in a small group meeting, whether you're at someone's home, abundant joy, worship, and praise is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit manifests himself. The power of the Holy Spirit changed their lives physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He's doing the same thing today. So out of their rich devotion, out of their abundant prayer, out of the consistent signs and wonders, the radical generosity, not only did they have abundant joy, worship, and praise, the power of the Holy Spirit was manifest through, number six, daily life transformation. Daily life transformation. They worshiped together at the temple each day and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. A church, a congregation, a group of people that the Holy Spirit is working through should be seeing regular life transformation. Now, there were thousands of people in Jerusalem, and so daily lives were being transformed. We're not thousands of people, but shouldn't we have at least monthly life transformation happening amongst us, through us? Shouldn't we maybe even have weekly life transformation taking place? I've been encouraging the prayer team to be expecting that God is going to manifest himself during our prayer times at the close of service. If you've been touched during prayer, that's life transformation. Please tell us about it. Let us know what God is doing so we can share of the good things that God is doing. Life transformation should be a regular part of the church. One commentator said this, "So unified, joyful, and spirit-filled were they that their very existence was a powerful testimony to the truth of the gospel. True evangelism flows from the life of a healthy church. This brief glimpse of the first fellowship gives valuable insight into what makes a healthy, growing church worthy of the name." How does the power of the Holy Spirit manifest itself in a local congregation? Here are six ways from this passage. So, here's my question to myself first. because I've been living with the text now for weeks, and I've been developing the thoughts for weeks. Here's the question. Where are we at with these six things? Where are we at with these six things? And I know we're not going to be perfect, because to tell you the truth, in just a couple of weeks, we're going to find out that this church didn't hold this all the time. They got to squabbling, and they had selfishness, and they had other things. But where are we at? I've had to ask myself this. Where's our rich devotion? Where's our abundant prayer? Where's the consistent signs and wonders? Where's the radical generosity? Where's the abundant joy, worship, and praise? And where's the daily or weekly or monthly life transformation? And I had to ask myself, as a local congregation where the responsibilities of leadership falls on my shoulders and other shoulders here, we got some work to do. We have some of this going on. We have some work to do. But then I had to think about this. The gathering together is nothing more than a reflection of the individuals gathered. And so I had to ask myself, as an individual gathered, where is my rich devotion, my abundant prayer, my praying for and expecting and seeing consistent signs and wonders? Where's my radical generosity? Where's my abundant joy, worship, and praise? When I win the battle in the mind, it does come that way, but promoting a class. And where are the life transformations? And so I'm going to challenge you. If we are going to be a church that reflects the manifested power of the Holy Spirit, that means individually we have to grab onto some of these things. We will not be perfect. But I believe the Holy Spirit is throwing a challenge out to this church, to those at home that are part of this fellowship, to those of, who are watching in another city you're gathering someplace else. I believe the Holy Spirit is coming to a point where He desires to move again in power. Will He find individual hearts ready to not only receive, but to walk in it and to obey? And I believe many, if not all of you here, those who are part of the E family, you're saying, yes. Yes. I want to be a part of a radical Holy Spirit power encounter in my life and in my local church. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And it starts when we allow Him full access into our lives. The team would gather. I'm going to close in prayer, but what I'm going to pray is a verse of Scripture. Sandy Robbins handed me this verse of Scripture 2-3 weeks ago. I prayed this before, but when she handed it to me, it got into my heart and into my spirit once again. And it's from Habakkuk, Old Testament prophet, very small book, 3rd chapter, 2nd verse. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. That's my prayer. We've heard. I read the story about the woman who got healed trying to get a ride to the hospital because a Pentecostal church was going to pray over her. I've read other stories about God moving in powerful ways. In a couple weeks, you're going to actually on video hear testimonies of, I believe there's 8 or 10 people that were healed over the past several months at one of our churches in Springfield, because God's Spirit is moving. We have heard of His fame. We stand in awe of His deeds, both as revealed here and as revealed elsewhere in the Scripture. Repeat them in our day, in our time, this day, this church, make them known. That's my prayer this morning. But will you and I allow him full access to our lives that he can work not only through in the church, not only in the leadership, but through you and I? One of the most fascinating things in some of the stories that I've been reading is how often it's not a pastor. It's not an associate pastor. It's not a board member. It's individual people grabbing onto what the Word of God says, believing what the Word of God says, and God's power is being manifest through them as they pray for healing, as they pray for deliverance, as they pray, power happens. Bow your heads. Lord, we have heard of your fame. Lord, as we read about what you have done, as we hear stories about what you have done, we stand in awe, Lord. But Lord, we ask, repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. Lord, come in power once again. Us. And now I just want you to pray in your hearts. Maybe you might want to say this prayer out loud. Would you say these words, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today through this message? And then church body, expect him to answer, maybe instantly or throughout the week. He's going to show you some things. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking through myself and others who have been on the platform this morning. But Lord, we ask, whether it's something that someone else said or you're going to speak individually, Lord, Lord, speak to each of us. Going to be receiving communion, but I don't want to have you get your elements yet because I just need to, if you are not closely following Jesus Christ, maybe you've never given your heart to him, maybe you're out of fellowship with him, you're walking your own way, and this morning you want to give your heart to Jesus for the very first time, or you want to rededicate yourself to Jesus Christ, before we receive communion, I want you to settle this in your heart. If you've been living for yourself, if you've not been living fully for him, if you're not devoted and you're not part of prayer, if you're just sort of hoping that you get into heaven, you don't have to hope. You can know. Need to repent, which means you need to change your mind and change your direction on how your life is going. But you're not going to change it on your own. Jesus himself is going to come in through this person called the Holy Spirit and give you the power to change. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. So if I'm speaking to you, maybe online or in the building, and you need to give your heart to Jesus or back to Jesus right now, everybody's going to bow their heads. And everybody's going to pray out loud. But if this is for you, then you need to pray out loud and make it a prayer that you mean. I want everybody to pray so you can feel comfortable praying out loud, knowing that other people are praying. Would you bow your heads and would you see it? Say after me, Lord Jesus, I realize today that I am not walking with you. Today, I choose to repent of my sins and to confess that you will be the Lord of my life. That means you're the boss, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Jesus, Forgive me of my sins. Come and live in my heart. I ask you this. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.